EDL Radio Encore.
It was the Anglo-American Alliance that stood up and fought the tyranny which you hate. So did Norway. So did Denmark. So did the Scandinavians as well, who stood up and fought.
What do you think of Sweden?
Sweden was neutral.
What do you think of Sweden?
I think if people had been neutral against Hitler, Hitler would have won.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task. Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter, we shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
Good evening and welcome to the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, with a heavy heart, I'll explain myself as I go on. The title of the show tonight is English Defence League radio show, The Butcher's Baton. Welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. And my wingman for this evening is Dave Agador Milner. I've got to, once again, before I start reading the script, I've got to thank Dave for the slides and the script this evening. Anyway, here we go, guys. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we will honour the memory of Mr. James Richardson, who was murdered by police in Trafalgar Square on the 19th of September. This brutal slaying marks a new low for Boris the Butcher, Hatchet Hancock and their heavy-handed lackeys. The battle for freedom and liberty has been joined on a global scale, and the forces of good are now beginning to see new allies. Today's axis of evil is built around the communist Chinese Wuhan virus. But the house of cards is heading for a big collapse. This is our moment to resist the lies and the shout of the truth. No surrender ever. all that is necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. And of course, that was by the late great Edmund Burke. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. And of course, that was by the late great President John F. Kennedy. And how true those words are ringing out today. With that, without further ado, let me bring in my friend, my colleague from across the pond, Dave Agdor Milner. Good evening, Dave. I hope you are well, and the good people of the United States and across the world. Over to you, buddy.
Right, Jeff, and a good evening to everyone. I'm going to keep the pleasantry short because we have so much, my God, we have so much to cover. With resistance to these lockdowns and mask mandates and things going on all over the planet, and the pushback from the left and from the left's allies to try and hold on to power, even as the Wuhan virus is dying out. Okay, they're still trying to hold on to that power. Now, I want to interview Jeff here on his own show, which is a little bit weird, but I'm going to try and pass along the audio that he gives me to other programs so that people can get a better understanding of what happened with the murder of Mr. James Richardson, because there was a video of this occurrence that happened while it was happening. And Jeff, I'm going to ask you as a beginning, okay, why can people not access and see this video now?
The reason at this moment in time that all the video evidence of the preceding untimely murder of James has been handed over for people that are pushing forward for prosecution against the police. So that is why. And of course, we do know they cover up these things. Now, if it was on the opposite side of things, the Antifa and all that, and Black Lives Matter, it's a total different thing. But because it was just someone who was there to defend or to talk out about the lockdowns, what's going on, that is the reason why nothing has been heard. The mainstream media have been told to shut up. It's quite obvious because everybody's looking and you can't find it. There is a video and that will be evidence. This is it's the strongest evidence. When it comes out, ladies and gentlemen, you'll see, and I've told Dave, it has moved me, it's disturbed me. It upset me so much to see a young man being killed in my front of my eyes. I saw this. I saw his lifeless body being dragged away after. Yeah, back to you, Dave. It's moved me, man.
All right, Jeff. Now, that's why people can't see the video. Now, the video contains evidence of police using a baton to strike the head of Mr. James Richardson with such force that witnesses have said that it could have been heard up to 6 feet or more away. Now, normally, and I'll say this for people who are going to hear this audio later, normally, the Metropolitan Police of London's policy is to only use their batons to strike the legs of people, not the head. This is the first time this has happened, though. But in the case of Mr. Richardson, all right, now, you did not see that part of the video because that has been sequestered for evidence. Okay, but the part of the video that you did see concerns something that I think a lot of Americans certainly will be able to identify with when it comes to the George Floyd killing, okay? And that is that once the police, quote-unquote, subdued Mr. Richardson, it has been said that they sat on him for 30 minutes. My question to you is, did you watch the video for the entire 30 minutes while they were sitting on this young man? And did he say anything while they were sitting on him?
Yes. Yes, he did. He was struggling. He was in intense... basically, Dave, you've got to remember what's just happened to that gentleman. He'd been cracked over the head so hard with a baton. He was lying mortally wounded. He was crying out for help. He wasn't getting help from the police. He was calling out to people around that he knew was there. And people tried to get to James. And yes, this went on for at least 30 minutes. That was it, over 30 minutes. Until there was no life left in James, and they just carried him away. Is there anything else? He called out quite numerous times, though. I will say what I saw. He was struggling, he was doing his best to get breath, and he cried, help, help, and you could hear how panicked he was. James was really, and I would be, anybody would be, ladies and gentlemen. And what I did see, and this is what I'm saying, it distressed me so much. His arms was pouring with blood. His wrists were bleeding. His wrists were bleeding. And after a while, of course, it fell silent. Once Sir James became lifeless, they dumped their dirty work. They had murdered a young man. Then, that's when you see an ambulance man come to the scene. He must have realised, he took his pulse and then he was dead. And the police just carried James's lifeless body away. And something else I will say, ladies and gentlemen, we watched the whole of this video where they just carried James, and we followed on the camera. It was following. And do you know what? There was an ambulance about, oh, I don't know, 100, 200 yards away. They walked straight past the ambulance with James' arms hanging down by his side while they were dragging him along. They were carrying him along. They weren't, you know, he was lifeless. There was no life in James. And you didn't see him being put into no ambulance. He was put into a police wagon. A dead man put into a police wagon. They tried to cover up their dirty work. That's it.
All right. Now, another question which will be asked, Jeff. Now, you mentioned that his wrists were bloody. Okay, one assumes because the handcuffs were put on too tight. But that's only an assumption. The question I have for you, as he was on the ground and as he was being sat on, I want to know how many officers were sitting on him. I also want to know his position on the ground. Was he laying on the ground face down, with his, you know, with his arms, of course, behind his back and up, you know, behind his back? Was he face down on the ground with officers sitting on him? And how many officers were sitting on him for this 30 minutes?
Six.
Okay, so he had six police officers sitting on him for 30 minutes. Let's kind of encapsulate what happened here. As far as Mr. Richardson's death, six.
He was face down on the ground, and the enforcers, the evil ones, were sitting on him. So, of course, he was struggling. He was already mortally injured. We don't know exactly. Guarantee he's going to have a fractured skull because it was hit so hard. And that's what the witnesses around said, that the crack was heard all around. So people knew that he was seriously injured. But he was face down, and they were sitting on top of him for at least 30 minutes. I wouldn't repeat that, 30 minutes. I watched the whole of this unfold. And I've been sleeping well, ladies and gentlemen. I've got to let you know, I've not been sleeping well. I've been at demonstrations before. I've seen people be rough-handed, at red split. I've never seen anything like this in all my time of being a patriot And this was just despicable. It went against anything that I've ever seen before. Back to you, Dave.
Okay, so to sum up, what happened, what you saw, was the London Metropolitan Police, six of their officers, sitting on Mr. Richardson as he was face down on the ground, all right, with his wrists handcuffed, right, behind his back, and blood on his arms, and they sat on him for half an hour, and then you saw at what we would call over here in the States, an EMT come over and check the guy, check Mr. Richardson,
gentleman, the ambulance man was a bearded guy who come through, the police lines to get to Mr. Richardson, and he spent a couple of minutes or so. I don't know exactly what he said, but then he moved away. I think he knew that Mr. Richardson, there was no life signs. I can't speculate because I didn't hear what he said, but it seemed that he knew that Mr. Richardson was dead. Back to you, Ben.
Yes, as I was saying, you saw a medical practitioner approach and check over Mr. Richardson and then leave, and then you saw the police drag Mr. Richardson not to a nearby ambulance, but to a waiting police van, paddy wagon, however you want to describe it, and that was the end. Now, is all of that correct?
Yeah, well, I assume that they took, because there was an ambulance there, and they was carrying him. I wouldn't say dragging him, but they was carrying his lifeless body, and they bypassed an ambulance. So I assume that they put him into one of their what we call meat wagons. That's what shocked me more than anything. I thought they might put him into the ambulance, but no. Everybody was so angry about that. There was an ambulance waiting. They went straight past the ambulance, Dave, and ladies and gentlemen. But yeah, that's you, Dave.
All right, so the ending of this was the London Metropolitan Police, after having sat on Mr. Richardson for half an hour, dragging him away past a waiting ambulance to an undisclosed place, which some people have said is a police van. So that is what you saw in the video. Is that correct?
I did. I mean, leading up to it, the brutal force of Metropolitan Police, that was very disturbing, though, because there were people, families, women holding babies in their arms, people with their little dogs and that. This was an hour we like demonstrate. This was just normal people there to protest against this lockdown. These were just everyday people, Dave. This wasn't any thugs or anything like that, like you get with BLM and all that lot. These were normal people. And to see all of a sudden the what was going on, the peaceful, sort of protest going on. And before you see swarms of police charging towards people with their batons raised. Dogs are really angry dogs, Dave. Horses rushing in to families with their kids. Ladies and gentlemen, this is disgusting. This is tyranny. This is what's happening in my country. Our country. They're destroying our country. They're bringing tyranny to our shores, and we're not going to put up with it. I'm sorry, Dave. As I say, I've got to tell you later, this is how I'm feeling, guys. If you see that video, and you will see and know why it moved me so much. And I haven't been moved like this before. I've been demonstrated, I've seen all things that, but to see that unfold before your eyes is, he kept talking over it. I mean, as I'm been sleeping well since then, I told Dave. Anyway, Dave, I'm sorry. I've just had to share what's going on inside my mind, because it's shocking, isn't it, Dave? Absolutely shocking.
Right, Jeff. Well, what I wanted to get from you to share out was your description of basically just the facts of what you saw, and that is what I will edit through and send around. Okay, and I will be posting this also, guys, on social media. You can find me as Dave Milner, M-I-L-N-E-R, or Agador, A-G-G-E-D-O-R. Okay, and this is going to be later today. I'm going to be posting on MeWe and Minds, Mumblitz. I will post on Parler, even though I don't spend much time there. I'll post on Spreely, USA Life. And I'm always Agador on Gab. That's where I spend the most of my time. I'll be editing down what Jeff just told you guys concerning the video, because the raw facts are what I was after, so that I could share that out, because that's what a lot of people are going to be interested in, since we can't see the video itself. But Jeff, emotion.
You just mentioned, Dave, that mainstream media have shut up. They're not saying anything. There's been nothing said at all. The only people that's reporting it, as people that's on the scene, people like ourselves, citizen journalists like we are, who viewed and saw what was going on. The truth is they're trying to suppress the truth, ladies and gentlemen. It's like Russia all over again, suppressing, killing people. This war is unacceptable in this country. It's unacceptable. This is tyranny. It's evil. But, Dave, I'd like to ask everybody that checks the post and what you're going to do, please share. Please, for the sake of James Richardson and his family, he needs some justice. This is disgusting. So, Dave, just a shout out to all of our great listeners. Please share it, guys. Please share, because they're trying to suppress what they've done to James Richardson. Back to you, Dave. Thank you, Dave.
And definitely do that. I'll also, Jeff, try to get that audio to you so that you can share it out on the Facebook. As I was saying, okay, the facts are great to have, because that's what people can base a lot of things on. But I'm listening to your emotion here. Okay. Now, you've said it, before here. You're a veteran, a longtime veteran of English Defense League demonstrations. You've seen attacks from Mohammedans. You've seen attacks from Antifa over the years. Americans. Antifa didn't just pop up in the United States overnight. Okay, you've seen attacks from Hope Not Hate and some of these other basically communist-based organizations. You've seen attacks from police on English Defense League demonstrators. You've seen a lot of stuff in your time. And I'll say this, people. I've been working for Jeff going on 8 years. I have never seen you so moved by a single event as I have about this. Now, and I want to say, Jeff, just your emotion over the past couple of days concerning this has been powerful.
Well, thank you, Dave. I'm just saying what's going on inside me. It's disturbed me. It's the most disturbing thing that I think I've ever witnessed. And I've witnessed some horrific scenes in my time. But to see a man murdered 30 minutes while he went lifeless is something that I'll never ever forget. And anybody was there when you could hear the emotion of people. It was in the crowd. Get off him. Let him breathe. And you know what? That dark look from their eyes, they turned and looked at you as though you were something evil. What they were doing was okay. You know, it was total evil intent. It was an evil intent, maybe to put the fear of God into people. This could happen to you. Well, anyway, that's just, that's my whole opinion, the way I look at it, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you, Dave, for letting me vent a bit of my emotion tonight, and to share my emotion with our listeners out there. Because this is war, this is me, and don't think I haven't cried over this, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care how tough you think I am, I cried, because, you know, that man, he could have children, his mum and dad, you know, brothers, sisters, you know, think how many people it's going to affect. You know, my fingers for James and his family. But that's you, Dave.
All right, Jeff. And, of course, you know, it's your show. You know what? I want to thank you for letting me basically interview you for this and bring this number one story. And, guys, we will obviously follow up on this as we get more information. But, Jeff, if you want to check the chat, I have an interesting audio from a source that we haven't used before here. That will shed a little bit more light on the character.
Yeah, Dave, I'm going to apologise to everybody we've got here. We've got quite a few this evening. Well, actually, tell a lie. We've got two. We've got Vorpal Bright. Good evening, Vorpal Bright. And God bless you, brother. He's saying God bless, Dave. Bigfoot says hi, Vorpal. Hi, Jeff and Agador. Sort of, why am I supposed to assume the police are being dodgy? Albright, in the USA, all the people they damn are victims of police murder were criminals. So why am I supposed to assume Richardson was an innocent victim? But let me just put this in perspective. I've watched the whole this video. I saw an innocent man being attacked by the police. Don't tell me he's a criminal, because he's not a criminal. Sorry, Paul, you pissed me off, mate. You know, I saw what happened, so don't make them assume about an innocent man who was murdered by the police. I'm telling you what I saw. Did you get that? That's you, Dave.
Jeff, you're beautiful. Okay, there's a difference, Vorp, between the BLM and Antifa a-holes in the United States, okay, and people like that the police have to take down, okay, and the anti-lockdown demonstrators that were in Trafalgar Square last Saturday. And by the way, guys, they will be there again this Saturday, okay? There's a difference, okay, and you're actually going to get to hear some of this, Vorp, if you want to hang around. I hope you will, because I want you to hear this next audio from a different source. And I also want to welcome Bigfoot. Guys, you want to hear, read a blog. He's got one, Bigfoot's Place at Blogspot.
He's awesome.
Blog, Bigfoot's Place at Blogspot.com. Sorry, buddy. But hang around, Vorp, please. Okay. Because you're going to want to hear this report. This report is from a lady named Breeze, all right, and she put this out on the 20th, okay? That was the day after the demonstration and after Mr. Richardson's death. Okay, Jeff, if you're ready, I'm going to roll this one. Now, guys, this one's 18 and a half minutes long, okay? But it's really worth the listen, I think. You ready, Jeff?
Yeah, and I've got to apologize. I know that you're just, you know, doing your thing, but this has affected me. You haven't seen this, have you, Paul? That's all I'm saying. You haven't seen this. I've saw this. I saw what happened. So, and this was an innocent man. Okay. That's what I'm saying. I wasn't meaning to have a go at it, but don't forget, this was raw emotion in me, mate, okay? I saw it. I saw everything that happened. So, just bear with me that I'm a witness to what happened. I saw the video. I saw everything. Back to you, Dave, and continue, mate.
All right, brother. Everybody, as I say, this is going to be 18 and a half minutes. But this is worth listening to, okay, because there have been some reports of the demonstration that happened last Saturday in Trafalgar Square in London, but they were all, you know, they were all the usual stuff that you expect to hear from the usual fake stream media, and this kind of gives a better description of what went on, and a definitely a more lucid description. Guys, check this out. This is the English Defense League radio show that you're listening to now. We'll be right back after this audio.
Hello, everyone. I am Anna Brees. It is the 20th of September, 2020. I'm just about to do an interview with Alan Morrell. He's 59 years old and from Woking in Surrey. And I'd say he's a citizen journalist. He's somebody who came to me a couple of days ago and said he was going to the London protest. I couldn't go yesterday. So he went along. He wasn't being paid. Filmed some interviews and some shots of the crowd. And before I speak to you, Alan, I'm just going to go to a report because you sent me that footage yesterday. I've packaged it up into a news piece, which I'm going to play now. How many were there? Who was there? And why were they there? All important questions for any journalist to ask. This is Trafalgar Square, London, 12 p.m. on the 19th of September. Well, Brief Media sent a citizen journalist who went along unpaid on a voluntary basis to interview and film the crowd. But first, before we go to our report, how did the British media report on the protest? Well, first of all, we go to the Daily Mail. They say anti-mask mayhem in Trafalgar Square as police arrest 32. They call the protesters conspiracy theorists. Sky News have a similar headline. Coronavirus conspiracy theorists clash with the police. And then we go on to the Metro. Again, very similar headline. I would imagine all written from the same Newswire copy. Conspiracy theorists, they say, clash with the police. The Express have some video footage where they say police were attacked by protesters. And finally, the Guardian headline, they don't use the word conspiracy theorists. They simply say that 30 were arrested. So, we spoke to a few people at the protests. And this is what they had to say.
Hello, my name's Lyndon Farrington. I'm director, international director of 4 companies in 12 countries around the planet, all of which are in lockdown. All of the governments are acting unlawfully. And I'm watching business after business be decimated in country after country. The reason I'm here is to look around to find like-minded people so we can resist what is clearly unlawful.
Hello everyone, Dolores Cahill from Trafalgar Square. I'm an immunologist, a molecular biologist, and I've been working for 20 years in the proper diagnosis of diseases, autoimmune diseases, and in research integrity. And I'm in Trafalgar Square today to speak some truth about the coronavirus. For example, in Ireland from December to March 2020, 0 people died. And in all of 2020, only 100 people in Ireland have died. There is no need for the lockdown. There is no need to prevent people meeting. And I'm very happy to be one of the speakers in Trafalgar Square today.
Hello, I'm Kevin Corbett. I'm a retired nurse and health scientist for 36 years. And we hope that the Boris Johnson government will wake up and will listen to what the people are saying of this country. People who voted for him last year are out on the streets here today and are calling out the government policy and the flaws in the policy. The policy of the coronavirus is very much like a sieve. When you put water in it, it comes out. And the public have found this out in the last few weeks and are not very happy.
Hello there. My name is Bruce Lamb. I'm in Trafalgar Square. It's the 19th of September 2020. I'm watching businesses being ransacked and also having the police go into them for such issues as not wearing masks, even when they're mask exempt and they're getting fined. Things have to stop.
Hi, I'm Duncan Ward from North Wales. I've come down here today because for a long time I understand there is a virus, but the government have been telling lies. The figures have been manipulated. The deaths have been recorded when they haven't even died from coronavirus. So I am down here today to protest at the lies our government are telling people. People are believing what they are hearing on the national media, and often that is misleading, misunder discussed with anybody other than outside of their line of people they're taking advice from.
Hello, my name's Thomas. I'm an electrician, qualified electrician. I've come here today because I do understand that the coronavirus is not as bad as what the government are trying to make out. It's not as bad as what the BBC are portraying. I consider now that the BBC is a huge propaganda machine.
Okay, hello, my name is Alison and I've come to Trafalgar Square on this sunny, windy day because I have very strong feelings that we need to find centre ground and the divisions that have been created by the two opposing sides, including groups like Extinction Rebellion and Black Lives Matter, are fighting the same cause, apart from a handful of very aggressive people who've got no idea what's going on. And I would like people like Anna Brees to take a big step forward in this department, because we all want to save the environment. We all want to create a world for children. It's not the answer to create an elite hierarchy who are going to control everybody. Let's stop this right now.
Good afternoon, my name is Martha. I'm at Trafalgar Square for various reasons. Firstly, for our new generation, for our children and for our grandchildren. I'm trained as a therapist. We are living in a fear-mongering age. It's psychological warfare. People watch television all day, so they are brainwashed continuously. Even intelligent people are brainwashed now. An example, my husband.
Okay, my name's Russ. I'm a mechanical design engineer. So this is just the third protest I've been on for this very reason. When the COVID first facts came out, I looked at all the evidence and realised that something didn't work out. It didn't ring true at all. If you apply logic to any of this, it just doesn't ring true.
Oh, hi, my name is Diana, and I just want everybody to realise how much they have lost in the last year. People think it's all about a virus, but it's not. Millions and millions of people die every year from TB, from cancer, from smoking, all these things, and we haven't shut down the world for that. I've been walking around London and it's so sad, so many empty shops, empty buildings, empty restaurants, places we've gone over the years, they've all shut down. Our country is going bankrupt.
Hi, my name's Carly. I'm a registered nurse and I was at the protest on the 29th in my uniform. I'm here again in my uniform at another protest, standing up and supporting the human rights for residents within care homes and nursing homes across the UK that are all suffering because of the COVID lockdown rules and guidelines. They are malnourished, they are depressed, and they do not have the will to live anymore. People are ending up worse off through these guidelines without having risk assessments take place to weigh up the consequences of the guidelines. And I'm here to fight for them and their voice and their choice and their rights.
So Alan, what's really interesting is the whole process here. I mean, we talk about citizen journalism, and I think that's really what you have done here. I think what's so important with the media now is people are very transparent about their agenda and their funding. So you weren't paid, but you were able to send this footage on a camera that you have, and I was able to edit it, and you weren't being paid in any way. And we've always been very clear about the agenda of Brees Media is to protect children, hold the media to account, and to expose corruption. I think it's very clear. You've got to be very clear when it comes to agenda. So we were able to put that piece together, and I've also reflected in that package, news package, on how this is being reported by other media. It looks like they've probably based a lot of their content, I think, on the Met Police arresting a number of people at the protest yesterday. So what I wanted to just say, first of all, is thank you for going to the protest and getting that footage for me. It's interesting because I was going to take my son along because he's shown an interest in becoming a journalist, because I wanted to show him, you know, what is true journalism? It's not sitting at a desk in a newsroom taking information from the Met Police or from the news wires. It's actually getting out there on the ground and interviewing people. And I wanted him to show him that. I'm glad I didn't take him. You did take your son. Your son helped you with the filming. The reason I'm glad I didn't take him is because there was obviously a lot of unrest there. There was issues with the police, and we can see that from some of the footage. So first of all, Alan, thank you very much for talking to the channel, for what you did yesterday.
Pleasure.
Can you tell me what happened? And I also want to have an idea of how many people were there. You were talking to me about the crowd. Now, you're a musician. You work with crowds. And I think the last event I went to, the protest I went to on the 29th of August, people were saying 35,000, but you don't think it was that many, and you think there were less yesterday. Tell me a little bit about that first.
Okay, so from what I understand, the capacity of Trafalgar Square, with including the sides, is 35,000 people, but that means everything completely full, with no room to move. So from previous experience, I reckon on the 29th, there was about 20,000 people. But that's my guess, you know, I might be wrong. And yesterday, I reckon there was a little bit less, probably about between 10 and 15,000.
Well, organisers, if you organise a protest, you obviously want as many people as possible to turn up, but we don't actually know. And the other thing that you can't do with a protest is have bouncers, so you can't say who's going to turn up. But what did you find then? You were talking to people. What kind of people went along? I mean, we obviously not everyone talks to camera, do they? The people that we've just interviewed. What was the general feel of those that attended?
Okay. Well, there was a wide range of ages, backgrounds. There was quite a lot of older people. We talked to a couple of them. I did an interview with an 81-year-old lady, and then a lady in her 60s as well. So there was a big, big, you know, range of people. There was a lot of youngsters. Obviously, we came from all over England. But I'd say the, you know, the average person was just a normal, you know, hardworking person who, you know, wanted to meet people who are likewise and think likewise.
Well, isn't it interesting? What is normal? What is a conspiracy theorist? Did you think they were all conspiracy theorists? Does have been reported by the Sky and Sky News, for example, and the Daily Mail. Okay. Do you think they were conspiracy theorists?
Well, I think it depends what we define as a conspiracy theorist. You know, all their conspiracies or not. So, I think that most people, I have talked to have actually researched, you know, the statistics and the data regarding, COVID. And, you know, what I think the general feeling is that most people think that the, restrictions are not justified because of the actual data, which is not as bad as we are told.
Well, there are different types of people probably at the protests, aren't there? There may be people that think the virus is only just like the flu. There are people that mm-hmm. think it's being caused by 5G. There are people that think it's all Bill Gates is behind it all. They're anti-vaxxers. Mm-hmm. And then there's people that are COVID deniers, or and then there's people that are restriction deniers. You know, they just don't understand the lockdown. Mm-hmm. And such an interesting kind of range of people. And there are. There were, obviously, there were, you know, teachers there and doctors and business people and, you know, a lot of the general public. It's interesting, though, that the German protest on the 29th of August in Berlin, they had, I think, much, you know, 850,000, whereas you're saying this one was looked like it was about 10, 15,000. Why do you think that is?
Why do we have less people in London? It's hard to know. Having been to Berlin, I can see the population is very young. And there is a lot of there are a lot of people who are quite politicized, and you know, they have a different background to us. You know, this used to be Eastern Europe, and they're much more aware that governments and have an agenda. And I think that's something I've seen across all the Eastern countries.
Yeah, it is very interesting, isn't it? I think people, the protesters might celebrate, or the organizers might celebrate those who turned up, but it isn't actually that many, is it? If you think of the population of Great Britain. Not that many people turned up. But I certainly, from what I've seen of the footage you've sent me, they didn't seem like conspiracy theorists. So I would urge journalists from organisations like Sky and Daily Mail, and they're all becoming TV journalists as well now, go along to these protests and talk to people. Mm-hmm. You know, in my last two interviews, I mentioned this BBC journalist who approached Professor Richard Enos and said, I've been sent along to smear you, basically, to show that you're not social distancing and that you're conspiracy theorists. And this journalist owned up and was ashamed. This journalist was ashamed to work for the BBC. And that's very, very sad to hear. And I feel for a lot of very good journalists at the BBC at the moment who are desperately trying to, sort of hoping that they went into journalism for probably the same reason I did, to hold power to account, to truly reflect what the public is feeling. And maybe they don't feel they can do their job at the moment. So that's an interesting situation around these protests. I became aware of a media organisation, Byline TV, So a lot of traditionally sort of prints or online or written media, that a lot of them now are going into the television sphere on YouTube. There's Spectator TV now as well that Andrew Neil is fronting. And I'm fascinated by this because that's what all media brands are becoming now. They're becoming multimedia and they can go along to the protests. So the only media organization that I've seen just on Twitter at the moment, there may be more. I saw Byline TV attend the protest yesterday and they only interviewed a certain number of people and I felt they were kind of humiliating and mocking them. And they were very much looking for a certain type of voice at the protest yesterday that would be, they would be able to paint a sort of QAnon or conspiracy theorists or far right supporters. I think that's very dangerous. And I think we need to be very aware of media organizations if they're doing that. But then I said to myself, this is all about the media really now and how we reflect things like these protests. Maybe I'm going along, or, you know, I did say to you, you know, try to stay away from people that are, you know, look like they normally go to protests or look like they're kind of anarchists or, you know, approach people who may be older or wearing suits, you know. So am I being biased there? This is what's so fascinating. What do you think? Do you think we should just, should we have an agenda turning up a protest? Is it more powerful if we interview people in suits that are from professional backgrounds? Or is everyone entitled to a voice? Everyone has concerns. And this is where I go to this opinions channel that I've launched, Brief Media Opinions Channel. Please take a look at it. We're going to be getting more and more videos coming through to publish on there. Doesn't everyone deserve a voice? And in a way, it's very bizarre for me or to have this channel. It feels like too much power for me to say, well, you're going in the vox pop and you're not going in the vox pop. And that's something I always had issue with at the BBC and ITV. You'd interview 20 people, you'd only take out five, and you'd usually take out sort of the ones that seems sensible usually. And I think we're in a world that's changing now where everyone does deserve a voice. And everyone does deserve to have questions without being called a conspiracy theorist. What do you think?
You're right. I think that, you know, first of all, I just want to go back to the reporting from the main channels. I've read what the Independent said, what the Standard said, and what the BBC says. And it must be a press release because they all say the same thing. And what they keep saying is that they talk about right-wing people going there or QAnon supporters or whatever that is. But what I can tell you, because I've been to a couple of them, you know, the people going there are just normal people, nurses, doctors, electricians, you name it. They are just normal people going there because they really have a problem with the government agenda. So I just want that to be clear. In regards to who to, what kind of people we should really be talking with at protest. I think that, you know, clothes don't make up, you know, souls. So, you know, if someone might not be looking the part, but they actually might have something really interesting to say. And I understand that, you know, media agencies want to talk to people who present well, but, you know, it might not always be the case. So I think I'd keep an open mind with that.
Thank you very much for talking to me, especially on a Sunday when I'm sure it's family time. We're very busy at the moment. And one last plug, you know, if people can afford to donate to Patreon, then I could, you know, give some expenses to Alan. He didn't get paid at all for yesterday. At the moment, I've got $1,400 a month and I'm paying part-time staff an hour a day to man the Opinions Channel email. So it's not a lot of money if people can afford to donate to Patreon. And I can also take the adverts as well off the YouTube videos as well. So that's something else. If you can afford to, and you like the voice of the channel, you like what we're doing, then if you could afford to, it would be fab to have your donation. So thank you very much for joining me, Alan, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Pleasure, Anna. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
And welcome back to the English Fantasy League Radio Show. The host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. Jeff, what do you think about what you just heard, brother?
Well, quite, it wasn't mentioned, was it? I was just talking about people who was there. Did talk about the main event, which I saw. It was interesting. Nice to hear different people's aspects on things, but you know, getting back to the whole thing, you know, of
of people being attacked, are basically being charged at. Police running with batons, with mothers holding babies in their arms, and mums and dads with their kids, and you get this this group of thugs chasing through with police dogs trying to terrify everybody, trying to make the force, you know, as though this is the force, you know, that you've got to get used to this is a normal now, but most of us didn't expect that we would see someone murdered in front of our eyes. And I'm calling it murder. I don't care what anybody says. This was cold-blooded murder. That was it. The person who struck and everybody was holding that man down. To me, this is murder. And there is video evidence to show it, and there is a video evidence of the baton being cracked down. But you'll get a chance to see this in the future. There will be evidence, and these police will be brought to justice, one way or another. Dave, yeah, very interesting, really nice here, Breen. There you go, mate.
Well, thanks, Jeff. Yeah, I mean, when I saw this, and this was off of course, the terrible announcement about James Richardson, because there was some background, and this was one of the things that was on there. And I just thought that it was appropriate for people to understand that this anti-lockdown demonstration was basically peopled by individuals who were not, quote-unquote, you know, right-wing conspiracy theory nutbags or anything like that. One of the most useful things I thought that there was in that report was that bit pretty much right at first where the gentleman interviewed just these ordinary people. Yes, and some of them were high-profile, university big bugs. And, you know, one guy had, like, you know, companies in four countries and things of that nature. And then you also got to see just ordinary people, older people. People, you know, around 30-ish, 40-ish, whatever,
society,
things of that nature. It was just normal.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't like a hardcore demonstration as such, you know. It was just people being peaceful, going about every day. And it was a nice atmosphere. People were just not happy with what's been going on, the lies that have been told. And Sky News can call them conspiracy theorists, this, that, and the other. This was the general public there. I mean, it was a family. As far as I was looking there was people there with their babies, children. There was lots of children there, Dave. Lots of children. There were people with their dogs there, just had to see what was going on and be a part of what was going on. No one's there for trouble. As such, the only people who's there for trouble is, as I say, the police themselves. And let's see what was going on the other side. Where was the police? Wasn't they taking their knee to the Black Lives Matter and the Antifa and the other scumbags out there at the time and handing out tea and cakes to these people? And on the other side of the thing, they're attacking innocent people. Amazing. The apathy of what's going on in this country by those that's supposed to uphold law and order. Well, your name is in the gutter now. You are despised by us all. We see you for what you are, and I've felt you over years, know exactly what you're about. We're only following orders. You know, that will ring loud and clear in the near future. Guarantee that will be your downfall. I was only following orders. Don't forget, you've got families as well. Don't forget what they're going through. So just remember what you're doing. Anyway, Doug, I'm sorry, I'm going off on a bit of a tangent there. It's got to be said, you know, they charge people down with horses and dogs and full force that the British law don't, you know. for no reason at all, just trying to make a point. And all it was a cold-blooded murder point. So there you go. The people say what they like about what I say. I saw the video. People sort of like awful bright are saying this, that, and the other. I guarantee you, you see that, your view would change. What I saw and what lots of people see. People scream to police, get off it, get off it. There was no need for that brutal force. No need to smash a man over the head for nothing. He was just standing there and just attacked. He wasn't calling names, nothing like that. They just run up and belted him and then, sort of, as I say, did not be lying wounded for about 30 minutes and passed away. Basically, they didn't care. They didn't care. There was no emotion whatsoever on these cops' face. They looked guilty. Looked guilty because they know they killed someone and everything. Everybody's got it now. There's video out there and this will circulate. In the near future, when all's come through, the world will see the total decimation of what the police have become in this country. Thugs. Thugs. No different than Russian thugs. Back to you, Dave.
Okay, yeah, Jeff. Well, scumbags. I think I'm going to steal that one. That's a good one. But what you had to say about the difference between the way the police treat Antifa and BLM and Extinction Rebellion and all these other scuzzos versus how they treat the anti-lockdown demonstrators is actually the subject of an opinion piece that I found off of Breitbart. And I'd like to run that, but would you like to check chat one more time before I do that?
Yeah, I'll talk, mate. Let's just see what we've got there now. Hey, folks still going on, what did I see? He's asking me, what did I see? I see a
play
video
the, play
of
the
what
show back
happened,
play the show
I
back from,
it.
From our
I'm
time, brother. Play
on
the
it.
Show back from our
so I'm reporting on what I saw. So when you say, what did you see? I've been telling you what I saw. What are you disputing what I'm saying? Because that evidence will come out. It will come out. So that will not what you say, Bill. I saw what I saw. Okay? Dave, back to you.
All right, Jeff. Yeah, Vorpal Bite, man. When the show goes to archive, go back and listen to about the first 20 minutes of it. You'll see exactly, or hear exactly, what Jeff saw, okay, from the video, and that should satisfy you. And there are other witness accounts, too, of what went on. Okay, we're not talking about someone who attacked the police here, but we'll move on because time is a-wasted, okay? This, guys, is about an 8.5-minute opinion piece from Breitbart, this is from Mr. Dellingpole, that was put out on the 21st of this month, guys. And Jeff, if you're ready, I'm going to go ahead and play this. Ready?
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
All right, brother man. You guys are listening to the English Defense League radio show. This is Breitbart.
Dellingpole, Boris goes full fascist against lockdown protests, but not BLM or XR. By James Dellingpole on September 21st, 2020. Here is some footage of the Metropolitan Police charging into action against demonstrators in London's Trafalgar Square. How much braver, more confident, and aggressive they looked than the hapless colleagues caught on camera in June fleeing from a BLM demonstration, pursued by a jeering mob chanting, "Run, piggy, run." Is this a sign that car crash Prime Minister Boris Johnson and his Home Secretary Priti Patel have finally got a grip on law and order in the United Kingdom? Sadly not. It's a sign, rather, that under Johnson's disastrous premiership, Britain is enforcing a bizarre and unjust authoritarianism where genuinely malign forces such as Extinction Rebellion and Black Lives Matter, who even managed to blockade Oxford Circus on Sunday, get treated with kid gloves, while peaceful lovers of liberty like the anti-lockdown and time-ask demonstrators in Trafalgar Square on Saturday are maligned, misrepresented and ruthlessly crushed with arrests, brutality and swingeing fines. The economic damage inflicted on Britain by the spoiled hard left, anti-freedom, anti-prosperity cry bullies of Extinction Rebellion has run into the tens of millions. This deeply unpleasant outfit has brought cities to a standstill, preventing commuters from getting to work, ambulances reaching hospitals, families from seeing their dying relatives. It has wasted many hours of police time. It has vandalized statues, dug up the lawns of a Cambridge college, even threatened the safety of airports. That's why Richard Walton, former head of the Metropolitan Police's Counter-Terrorism Command, has argued that they are dangerous extremists who should be put behind bars. The same can be said of the Black Lives Matter demonstrators who have vandalized public property, including a number of statues, attacked passersby and injured numerous police, including the police rider thrown from her bolting horse after it was startled by BLM activists. Compare and contrast this aggressive, relentlessly provocative behavior by XR and BLM with the peaceable crowds which have gathered on occasion to protest against what they see as the British state's overreaction to the Chinese coronavirus. They believe that lockdowns, compulsory masks, and proposed curfews are ineffective and a needless assault on freedom. They are worried that this is all leading to the imposition of a vaccine which they believe may be unsafe and also unnecessary for healthy people with an uncompromised immune system. About the worst you could say about these people is that some of them, the anti-vaxxers and the anti-5G protesters in particular, are at the eccentric fringe of the debate. But they're not damaging property, hurting anyone, except possibly in self-defense, or causing economic damage or disruption. Why then, is it one rule for the nasties, bullies, thugs, saboteurs, and economic terrorists in the first two groups but another for the fundamentally decent, law-abiding, freedom-loving members of the public in the third group? The answer, I fear, may be even worse than cowardice. Note the massive sucking up by the authorities and the establishment towards both Extinction Rebellion and Black Lives Matter. A number of policemen, senior ones included, have been filmed taking the knee to Black Lives Matter. Politicians have bent over backwards to show how totally down they are with BLM's supposed war on racism and its allegedly noble objectives. The same is true of Extinction Rebellion. As I argued last year, every credulous pillock in the public eye has leapt on the XR bandwagon, from Stephen Fry and the rock group Radiohead to useful idiot conservative MPs such as Mark Garnier, Zach Goldsmith, and Jeffrey Cox. Essentially, depressingly, Boris Johnson's supposedly conservative administration is far more closely in tune with the politics of Black Lives Matter and Extinction Rebellion than it is with the freedom lovers of the anti-lockdown movement. The government may deplore BLM's and XR's more extreme tactics, but it most certainly doesn't treat either organization like full-on enemies of the state, even though that is what they are. But the government do, very obviously, want to crush and destroy the anti-lockdown / anti-mask movement, despite the fact that its ideals, liberty, limited government, evidence-based policy, freedom of choice, personal responsibility, etc., are actually much closer to where any genuinely conservative administration ought to be. What's more, the government, and the police, are getting much more unpleasant and authoritarian in their approach towards a group of people who by any sane standards ought to be treated with respect and sympathy as natural allies. That police charge at the demonstrators on Saturday, together with the use of service dogs, was fairly clearly designed to intimidate and perhaps provoke retaliation. At least one demonstrator was badly injured, which would surely never have happened if the police had merely maintained a respectful distance, observing but not attacking. There was an example of this dangerous new authoritarianism in Parliament last week when MP Tobias Elwood proposed greater use of our military in tackling this pandemic. Elwood, an ex-soldier, now a reservist lieutenant colonel for the military's propaganda arm 77th Brigade, even talked about putting the country on a war footing. What exactly does he mean here? We know that the military has already been involved in simple, practical schemes like the building of all those Nightingale hospitals for the expected glut of COVID-19 patients that never materialized, leaving the Nightingales almost totally empty. But that was 6 months ago. What, exactly, has happened since to justify putting Britain on a war footing? On the contrary, as Carl Hennigan, professor of evidence-based medicine at Oxford University, forcibly argues in the Mail on Sunday, coronavirus no longer justifies the radical measures being used by governments to try to stop it. Dialing down the rhetoric and putting the available COVID data into context would be a useful start. There are many more registered deaths from influenza and pneumonia than COVID at present, yet the public is only given a daily diet of COVID. There might come a time when we need more stringent rules for the population, but that time is not right now. If we do need a national shutdown of some sort, remember there is a ready-made opportunity in the week after Christmas when many of us take an extended break in any case. But for now, the only circuit break we need is an end to the current cycle of bad data, bad language, and shockingly bad scientific advice. But Boris Johnson's chicken licking administration isn't dialing down the rhetoric and putting the available COVID data into context. Rather, it is now completely in the grip of the Must Do More Now faction, headed by overgrown school prefect and authoritarian control freak Health Secretary Matt Hancock, whose response to dissent is not to listen but brutally to silence it with tougher policing, stricter rules, and ever more expensive fines. Here he is in full bully mode. The health secretary told the BBC's Andrew Marshall the country was facing a tipping point and we have a choice. If everybody follows the rules, then we can avoid further national lockdown. The prime minister is understood to be considering a ban on households mixing and reducing opening hours for pubs. Asked if England could face another national lockdown, Mr. Hancock said, "I don't rule it out. I don't want to see it." For the last few weeks, the world has been looking aghast at the state of Victoria in Australia, wondering how a region of a relaxed, freedom-loving, prosperous, sensible Western nation like Australia could suddenly embrace such fascistic measures. But it looks like the United Kingdom is heading that way too. And anyone who wants to protest against this assault on liberty ought to be ready for the worst. The police are now a political instrument and they're not afraid to send in the dogs and the riot police thugs to enforce this authoritarian regime's iron whim. Follow Breitbart London on Facebook, Breitbart London.
And welcome back to the Inspensive Radio Show with host Jeff Spider-Mitchell.
Well, she said,
Jeff.
I've got to say, Dave, Breitbart was spot on with what they sent. They sent, you know, dogs, horses. There was wave after wave after wave, three lines of police attacked innocent protesters, families, you know, the brutal force. And of course, now we hear some majors has put the country on a war foot. And I would say to people in this country, be prepared because they want to go to war with you, with me, with us all. And time to get real. This is going to get real. Not my words. They mean it. They mean it. And basically, you know, all this, what would they use? Martial law against the people that oppose it? That is what they want you to respond. So they can bring martial law. So things are going to get harder. But, you know, in the end, goodness will always prevail over evil. And what you're seeing out at this moment in time is an evil presence. We will prevail. Have no fear in the end. And I know it's scary times to live in. We've got to stand up against these tyrants and beat them at their own game. Be smart, be prepared, and look out for one another. Back to you, Dave.
All right, Jeff. Well, we do have some other stuff that we'll probably have to wait until Sunday to do because there are so many things coming down now about the people pushing back on these lockdowns and the pushback from the tyrants who are running the lockdowns. They know they can use this to control people. So, that, you know, as it says in the show description, the battle has now been engaged. One of the things, ladies and gentlemen, that I was telling Jeff before we came to air was that there are now flash demonstrations going on in the state of Victoria in Australia. And those have included red herrings, as Jeff describes them. Jeff, before we hit the next thing, which is going to be a Daily Mail article, would you just like to explain to people what a flash demonstration is and a red herring?
So can you say that again, guys? I my hearing went a bit funny now. Sorry, Dave, I just missed what you said.
Okay. What I said was, would you like to explain to the people what a flash demonstration is, and then put an addendum on that and tell people what a red herring is?
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, a flash demonstration means without consulting the enforcers or letting them know, liaising with them, we will turn up, or the people will turn up. The also said this, that if they forced us to go underground, then we would have flash demonstrations right away across the country. And what that means, ladies and gentlemen, it means groups, small groups of people decide to protest outside whatever, I don't know, the or police station or I don't know, a council, you know, a councillor's place, something like that. This is what you call a flash demonstration. You know, you work out your details. There's little groups, you maybe 5, 6, maybe 10 of you. And if you do that across the country, the police resources will be tied up right the way across, so you can put them under really serious pressure. That's what I'm saying. That's a flash demonstration. It is very successful. You get it right, you can have flash demonstrations right the way across the country. We've been saying it for years that when things get heavy and keep going down, we could do flash demonstrations. They decide who, six, they're going to sort of impose this, that, and the other. We can have flash demonstrations. If I say 5 or 6, up to 6, you could do that. You see? And a red herring means that you'll put out information to the enemy, who you know who are, the state. You'll put information or to the police, and they will go in a certain direction, and you go in the opposite direction. That's what we call a red herring. This is how you flank the enemy with red herrings. Put out information that is false information. You know, a bit like what the mainstream media puts out, false news. We put out a bit of false. It's propaganda. It's how you do things. It's how you work in a war scenario, guys. You see, this is what you do. It's confuse the enemy. That is a red herring, Dave.
Thank you, bro. All right. And the thing is that social media is so good at doing this. And what the Australians are doing is they're using Telegram. And, yes, they're throwing out red herrings there, okay, so that the Victoria police show up. And, boy, do they show up from the videos that Abby Yemeni is sharing with us. You know, I mean, you're seeing, God, you know, 50 cops show up at what is supposed to be a flash demonstration. But, they'll show up, but the demonstrators are gone, okay, because they've already been there. They've already demonstrated against the lockdowns, and then, poof, they're out. You know, I mean, they may catch one or two of them leaving, but aside from that, no, they're gone. Or with the red herring, okay, actually, Abby was caught in one because they put out information that there was going to be a flash demo at one location, and Abby was there, the cops were there, no demonstrators, though. They were someplace else doing a demonstration and doing it successfully, and then they were gone. So just beautiful tactics. And again, no violence, no burning stuff down, no attacking people, no looting, none of that, okay? Just people doing the thing, and telling people that these lockdown protests or these lockdowns are not helping. They're hurting, and they need to stop. Now, Jeff, I'm going to read a bit. I'm looking at the clock as well. I'm going to read a bit here out of a Daily Mail article that I came across. All right, this was put out on the 23rd of September. And it's by Jack Wright and, Jack Maidement, who is the deputy political editor for the Mail Online. Now, this is interesting. Okay, when we put in the show description that the forces of good are beginning to get some allies, this is what I'm talking about. Okay, I'm going to read the headline here. Let me get to it. Okay, Rab Warren's second national shutdown is in the cards if Britons don't obey new laws that Boris has blamed on people breaking the rules over over summer. But roads and rail are busier than ever on last day before 10 p.m. pub curfew, okay? And that's going to be that before that 10 p.m. pub curfew kicks in. Now, the subheads are really where you begin to see the newsworthy things here, okay? Not that those events aren't newsworthy, okay, guys? If you're if you're going to head out to the pub, you don't have very long to go tonight anyway. But I'm going to read the subheads, guys, what Jeff would call the bullet points. Now, this is where it's beginning to turn around on, on Boris the Butcher. That's what I'm calling him, okay? First subhead. Furious Tory backbench MPs have turned on Boris Johnson's after he unveiled tough Wuhan virus restrictions. I never say the word coronavirus, except to say that I don't say the word coronavirus. All right. Next bullet point. Okay. Next subhead. Let's see. Beleaguered PM imposed 10 p.m. curfew on pubs and restaurants and demanded workers return to work from home. All right. Mr. Johnson also introduced swinging measures, including a 200-pound starting fines for mask rule breaking, and that winds up being about close to $275 American dollars. You guys have to check the exchange rate, but that's pretty bad. And the last bullet point here, the last subhead is PM earlier warns that the new measures might have to stay in place for 6 months. Get this, guys. Threatening Christmas, okay? And we're already seeing this over here, Jeff, with people saying, Democrats mostly, saying, oh no, you can't go out and trick or treat on Halloween because of the Wuhan. Okay, now, I want to read, Jeff, before I turn it over to you, I want to read this one very important one. This is a tweet that Lucy Allen, an MP, put out, okay? She says, measures to tackle COVID, I'm going to read this because she did that. She did it that way. Must be proportional, all right, to the risk. The virus is a serious threat to, get this, certain vulnerable groups. Yes, it is. We must protect these groups, all right, with targeted measures. Shutting down society, all right, causes massive damage to health, lives, and livelihoods of the whole population. Jeff, I'm going to turn it over to you. What do you think of that? And what do you think of that story that the Tories are beginning to turn on Boris the Butcher?
Well, it's like the Knight of the Long Swords. Once the Prime Minister, they've had enough, they turned the swords on him, and it seems that we are seeing once again. It's all about power, Dave, in the end, and the Tories and anybody else associated with them. No, this is the way that they've always done business, and all the way they always will continue to do what they do. Looking at they're just a show of crap, a lot of them. So they might be turning, vipers do turn on vipers. I mean, it has been known before. And I don't say too much because I'm just pissed off with all of them. I just think they're all a show of crap, to be honest with you, Dave. With what we've seen over the last week, politics is about as far away from anything as I can think of at this moment in time. But that's all I want to say about Boris the Butcher and his henchmen. Go stuff yourselves. Trying to bring war on the people. Got a general saying, we'll bring war on the people. Yeah, stuff you. Stuff you. The people rise up and we'll crush you. Yeah, there you go. And sorry, Dave.
I'm totally filtering out of context and everything at the moment, but it's just a bit emotional week for me. To be honest with you, it's been emotional for me this week. But we get on, we get by, and we will still continue to do what we do. We report the truth, the facts. That's what we do. We are the journalists out here. And all these, the mainstream crap, that's all they are, crap. You get the real reports of people, citizen journalists on the ground reporting on what's actually going on, and myself reporting on video, of course, I mean, the mainstream media are not reporting on how badly injured James was, but we know he died. He died at the spot. They murdered him there. So we all know that. It's right out there. And this will come to pass in the future. We won't. I'm going to talk about this week in, week out, because James Richardson's family, you know, we need to make let them know that we are fighting on behalf of James and to anybody else that's going to be brutally manhandled by or killed by these enforcers. We're not having it. Back to you, Dave. I'm sorry, I'm not focused like I normally am. I'm just so angry still, Dave.
Yes, Jeff, I know. Now, what I'm going to say about this article is that it, okay, you say that politics is all crap, and in a sense, I agree with you, but it's not quite all crap when it comes to the possibility of forcing your prime minister to let off of some of these restrictions or all of them, because, okay, now it's backbenchers that are supposedly having the problem. Now, I don't know UK politics as much as perhaps I should, okay, but my guess is that backbenchers are ministers of parliament that really don't have a whole lot of power. They're probably also recently elected, okay, but they also see they're the closer to the people, or they should be, in my opinion. Usually that's the way it goes with people who are more recently elected in politics, okay, they're still more or less close to the people because they realize who it was that brought them into office. They're seeing that ordinary people are fed up with the lockdowns. They're fed up with the lockdowns. They have access to some of the same data that everyone else does, including number 10. And are they looking out for their political careers? Yes, I'm sure they are. Okay, but this could actually wind up being advantageous for the people of the UK because their own self-interest could actually work for the people. This wouldn't be the first time, and I guarantee it won't be the last in any country when it comes to politicians who recognize that people at the top have instigated policies that are wildly unpopular with the people. And while they're looking after themselves, they'll also be looking after the people. I'm talking about the backbenchers now, not number 10. Okay, so I think this can actually operate in the people's favor. Now, Jeff, I'm going to go ahead and do my final because we're just about done with the show. Guys, this has been a heck of a program.
Dave, it's been one of those. I wasn't sure how I was going to respond tonight. I know I've not been running about up in the air like tonight. More so, I've just not been composed like I normally am. And my apologies to the listeners out there if my emotions have shown tonight. But I can't help it. I've witnessed something that has moved me and disturbed me. And so would anybody else that was around there saw that video. You would all feel the same as the way I feel. Well, it might be just me. I'm just feeling it deep. I feel more. It's a mortal wound to people to see police acting in such a brutal way to innocent people. I can't get over it. I really can't. Dave, back to you, mate. For your final thoughts for this evening, brother. And well done, Dave. Thank you for the interview as well this evening, brother. You've done awesome, as you normally do. God bless you, mate.
Hey, God bless you too, Jeff. Right, everybody, please check out the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. All right, my normal show times are 1 p.m. Eastern in the United States, Monday through Friday, and that's 6 p.m. in the UK, and also Saturday at midnight Eastern in the United States, and that's 5 a.m. on Saturday in the UK. Also available through Western Free Radio and SHR Media. All right, and I'm going to be talking tonight with Kenneth McClinton, all right, who runs the Exceptional Conservative Show. Okay, and this is going to be after, it's going to be at around after 2 a.m. your time on in the UK on Friday. Okay, but for us here in the United States, it's going to be at after 9 p.m. Eastern. Okay, and we're going to have quite a lot to talk about because it is going to be a pre-election show in a sense. Okay, so you guys are going to get a lot of things, and we're going to also try and get into some of the stuff that Jeff talked about, and also Sunday at midnight Eastern, and I guess it will be Monday at 5 a.m. in the UK, I am going to be on with Kaiser of Kaiser's Castle on PSN Radio. That's Papa Sierra November, PSN Radio. So go there and check that out at psn-radio.com. I'll be there. And I just, you know, again, it's been a tremendous show. And I just want to say to the foot soldiers and angels and all the freedom fighters out there, all the anti-lockdown freedom fighters out there, okay, guys, you know, be prosperous, be blessed, and for goodness sake, no surrender ever. Jeff, back to you.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. As I say, it's been quite a show tonight, ladies and gentlemen. But, you know, as I say, we report on the truth, we report on things that, you know, should be reported on. As I say, you're not seeing any, the reporting you see from the mainstream is all bullshit, as you all know. Who really listens to that? And we're about the closest thing now of getting the truth out to you great listeners out now. And you deserve it. You deserve it. And you deserve impartial reporting, not this spin on things like they try to do and call everybody conspiracy theorists, nuts and all that lot. And just normal citizens going about their business, be called all these names. But we're used to it. We, the people, are used to the name calling, especially by the mainstream media, the enemy of the state. These are the true enemy of the people. They lie to you. They expect you listen to the bots. We're right. Everybody else is wrong. Don't listen to anything else. You see, it's hypnotized, it's brainwashing, it's what they do. And most of us know that, and a lot of us, we don't even watch this crap that they spin out to us. You know, we watch our own things and listen to our, you know, people who we respect and trust for our news, because they, we know that they bring the true news. It's like we do. The English Defence League radio show will always bring you. So, oh, she's just telling me, you've got 90 seconds. Yes, I know, my dear. Dave, you've got 90 seconds. I've got to say thank you, everybody. That's this one. Apple, goodbye. Ah, wow, you pushed me tonight, brother. And I loved it. Just keep pushing them buttons, mate. It gets me on fire. Bigfoot, as usual. Brother, good to see. Well, good to see you both. But we'll see you again this Sunday. Take care, stay safe. God bless you all. And I've got to go underground. Take it away, boys.
Good night, Jeff.
People might say that I should strive for more, but I'm so happy I can't see the fine things happening here today. A show of strength with your five brigade. I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money, of course, I don't mind. My new deal attempts to spar some eight that the public gets what the public wants, but I want nothing. I have to go.
too busy dodging through your facts. Here's what you get. You made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your lead and the place you trust. And the lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give up.
And once again, we come to the end of our live transmission tonight. Yes, been quite an emotional night tonight on my behalf. I hope you quite understand that I'm a seasoned veteran. You know, I've been on lots of demonstrations over the years, and this was so dark. This was so dark with what I witnessed. I just needed to share that with you, the great listeners out there. This is tyrannical, what we're seeing now, and we will prevail against the evil. We will have done. Sadly, there's always going to be victims of police brutality, and unfortunately, Mr. Richardson was one of those victims. But we won't let him ever be forgotten. We will fight for justice for James. You know, there's no doubt about it. We will fight for this man. Anyway, guys, we will see you again this Sunday with another show. We might have a few more things we can talk about that we can share with you great listeners out there. Once again, you take, if you go in to the demonstration on the weekend, just be aware of these thugs. They call themselves police, but really, they're no different than like the SS Nazis. They're all dark. So just be aware. If you want to stand up for what you believe in, you do it and stand there proud. Be proud, stand together. You're going as one, you know, and just be proud of who you are and what you're doing in respect to the whole country. Most of us are behind you with what you do. God bless you all. Take care. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to just bring this down here like that and say, this is the English Defence League radio show signing off for tonight, but we'll see you again this Sunday. Take care. God bless. No surrender ever. Good night, all.
Now, extras that help you navigate the new media world.
Conservative media done right. You're listening to the SHR Media Network.
From a public locker inside a dilapidated Long Island rail station comes a show designed to piss off liberals using truth, facts, and ridicule. The Lid Radio Show, featuring the conservative voice from the People's Republic of New York. The Lid himself, Jeff Dunitz. Tune in every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the SHR Media Network. Go to shrmedia.com. At Lid Radio, we fight for the truth, justice, and a good kosher T-bone. If you don't listen, Hillary Clinton might sneak into your bedroom in her house coat late at night and blame you for her election loss. It's the Lid Radio Show with Jeff Dunnitz.
Hey, are you guys listening? This is Shannon from Right Wave with Shannon and Mike in the AM on SHR Media. I know you've been wondering where we are and what's been going on. Well, folks, that's right, we're back. So please join us 7 to 9 a.m. Monday through Thursday on SHR Media, on Spreaker, iHeartRadio, and Spotify, and Facebook Live at 11 a.m. on Right Way with Shannon and Mike in the AM at Facebook. You don't want to miss a minute. We've got lots of guests, lots of segments, and lots of interesting things. And let's face it, there's nowhere for you to go, so you might as well tune in. Again, Right Way with Shannon and Mike in the AM. We're back live on the air on SHR Media. 7 to 9 a.m. Monday through Thursday, audio and Facebook Live, audio and video. Yes, we are going to do video. Facebook Live, Right Way with Shannon and Mike in the AM. Hope to see you soon.
Broadcasting behind enemy lines in occupied California, a mere 2 miles from the state capital, the Bloviating Zeppelin's Berserk Bobcat Saloon Radio Show can be heard every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m. Pacific and 11 p.m. Eastern, only on the SHR Media Network. Go to shrmedia.com to listen. You can also watch on the SHR Media Facebook page and the SHR Media YouTube channel. No goldfish were abused in the making of this ad.
Conservative media done right. You're listening to the SHR Media Network.
It is he that is me, bringing perspective from across the sea. Join me, Jack Alexander, 4 days a week for the Jack Alexander Experiment podcast, as I take a unique outsider's look at the news and issues affecting life and liberty here in the USA. I'll show you what the mainstream media refuses to. Politics, border security, defense, healthcare, travel. Nothing is off limits. Catch the Jack Alexander Experiment podcast each Monday to Thursday on Facebook, YouTube, and everywhere good podcasts can be found. Also, check out the website, www.jackalexanderexperiment.com.
Southern Sense is conservative talk with Annie, the radio chick you bellas as host, and C.S. Bennett, co-host. Informative, fun, irreverent, and politically incorrect. You never know where they'll go, but you'll love the journey. Annie is a top conservative host on Top Talk Radio and features some of the finest guests packed with important politicians and newsmakers. Listen every Friday, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern, noon to 3 Pacific, on the SHR Media Network. Remember, Southern Sense is common sense.
After 6 years covering terror and corruption, The Unpleasant Blind Guy is making a change. I'm Dave Milner. Join me on Spreaker and YouTube through SHR Media and on the Western Free Radio Network as I team up with Jeff Mitchell, host of the English Defense League radio show on blogtalkradio.com. Check show pages for airtimes. It's The Unpleasant Blind Guy
on EDL Radio.
There's
no surrender, ever.
Because truth is not always pleasant.
Conservative media done right. You're listening to the SHR Media Network.
It's your business diva here, Melanie Collette. I am inviting you to a front row seat as I discuss some of the most intriguing details of wealth and finance with today's movers and shakers in the world of business. Listen in and discover financial truths on a global, domestic, and household scale. Uncover topics that will impact your wallet today and in the future. Money Talk with Melanie airs Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. East, 2 p.m. West, right here on SHR Media and High Plains Pundit Talk Radio. You can't afford to miss it.
Conservative media done right. You're listening to the SHR Media Network.
The dream deferred is real. You've been waiting for the Exceptional Conservative Network, and now it's here. Go to theexceptionalconservativeshow.com. Tune in and get the best in urban conservative talk. Stop dreaming. It's real.
Dream,
WBN is proud to present the hosts from Sunday Long Live Radio.
Hey lovelies, this is Rhea from Sunday Long Live Radio from the World Broadcasting Network. You'll catch me live every Sunday of the year, 5 a.m. Eastern Standard, 10 a.m. UK for a few hours. I cover a lot of the chat that goes on, as well as covering lesser known stories. Following me at midday is Joss the Boss, the People's Poet.
Hi everyone, this is Joss the Boss from the UK. Join me on Sunday Long Live Radio, live every Sunday of the year, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard or 12 p.m. GMT. I'll be covering news from the red pill side of life with a little bit of humour thrown in for good measure. See you there.
Following Joss is Based Amy, our resident activist.
Hi everyone, this is Based Amy from the UK. Join me on Sunday Long Live Radio, live every Sunday of the year, 8 a.m. Eastern Standard or 1 o'clock GMT. I'll be covering Q stories among other Patriot news you may want to know about. See you there.
Following Amy is Nan from Ireland.
Hi, this is Nan from Ireland. Join me on Sunday Long Live Radio every Sunday of the year, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard, 2 p.m. GMT. I'll be covering the news and joining some dots and looking at the bigger picture. Think how the West is changing, the influence of the UN, the NGOs, the WHO, etc. You know, that kind of thing. See you there.
Following Nan is Bullrock from Canada.
This is Marty, also known as Bullrock from Canada. Join me on Sunday Long Live Radio, live every Sunday of the year, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard or 3 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. I will be taking a look at news from a more objective and concise point of view, so if you like detail, this is the place to be.
Also joining Bullrock is Ed the Bear from Canada.
Hi everyone, this is Ed the Bear from Canada. Join me on Sunday Long Live Radio, live every Sunday of the year. We're on the air, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard or 3 p.m. GMT, which also happens to be Zulu time for those of you that are pilots. I'll be taking a look at the current news with Marty with a slightly discerning point of view. So if you like detail, this is the place to be.
There's your lineup for Sunday Long Live Radio, airing on the World Broadcasting Network every Sunday of the year, 5 a.m. Eastern Standard, 10 a.m. UK, 7 p.m. New South Wales. Just type in your browser WBN324 to tune in. We'll see you there.